Hey, y'all, we've been in a series for several weeks now, and this is part four of this series that I've entitled Divine Interruptions, Leaving Your Living. So I'm going to go on here now and try to pull up YouTube so I can holler at y'all, see who's in church. That's how you got to check, see who. This is really what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to check, see who came to church today. You know, back in the day, they would check you at the door and say, "We ain't seen you. We ain't seen you in a minute." So I'm just going to scroll through the chat here to see who in church, in the Lord's church. Amen. Amen. Let me see who in the church. No, I'm just serious. But welcome. Thank y'all for being with us and for being a part of this moment. We're grateful for it. When I started this series, we started looking at this passage in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22, where Jesus is going up the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And as he's going, I'm going to summarize it. He sees two sets of brothers who are actually operating or performing their professional work. They were fishermen. That's what they did for a living. And Jesus sees these two sets of brothers, Andrew and Simon, and James and John, and long story short, he called them to leave their living and follow him. And they left everything and followed him. And I thought I was going to preach that, and then we move on to something else. But it hit such a chord with so many people who on a real deep level, are feeling something similar to that in their life. They're feeling like, maybe God is interrupting this life and this living that I've been involved in, and so many things that I resonate with, like I'm not really fulfilled here. I don't feel like I'm making a difference. And I feel like maybe God has called me and gifted me and he's given me a burden to do something. But it's my living that I'm leaving to do it. And when you leave your living, it becomes complicated. And so we've been just staying with it. So the first 2 weeks, we just focused on what could we mine out of that text in Matthew 4, 18 to 22, as well as Mark 1, 16 to 20, which gives the same account in Mark's version. And then in part three, because I want to give you these highlights, because even though we're in part four, if this is your first time with us, I don't want you to feel like you're not going to be able to track with us, because each part has its own focuses. So you don't need to have heard parts one, two, and three to be up with part four. It'll make sense to you without that. But if you are interested in hearing the other parts, you can go to our YouTube page or our website, and you can watch that content at any time, and other content that we have that will be helpful to you in your life. So we looked last week in part three at a man named Levi, who was working at his job, and he was also called to leave his living by Jesus as a tax collector, and Jesus called him, and he left everything to follow Jesus as well in this new vocation that he was called to. And I'm going to say a brief thing about that and go back to that passage. But my focus today is going to be on Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And I'm going to focus on Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, because Luke gives his version of what happened going up the Sea of Galilee on that day that we've been looking at from Matthew's perspective and Mark's perspective. I want to hear Luke's perspective. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called synoptic gospels. Synoptic, S-Y-N, means together or similar or the same, like a synonym. It is the same. It is similar. Optic means to see. And so they're called synoptic gospels because there are four gospels in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke see things similarly. A lot of their content is similar. And so it would not be right, I think, to look at just Matthew and Mark if we're in the series and not look at what Luke has to say about this same scenario, because he adds content that brings further light to the story of Jesus building his team, of his picking and selecting people who would leave their living to follow him. And so I'm going to start in Luke 5, verses 27 to 32, and I want to go back over that story where Matthew, whose name is also Levi, left his living. It says in verse 27, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. And Jesus says to him, follow me and be my disciple. Mm-hmm. Verse 28. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then the Bible says later, which is very important, later Levi held a banquet at his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Get a picture of this. He's having a banquet at his home. He has met Jesus. He's walking with Jesus. He's following Jesus. Now he throws a party with Jesus as the special guest of honor. Jesus will be the center of attention at this banquet. And many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. So when Levi threw this party, he sent out the RSVPs to the people he used to work with, the people he used to roll with, the people he used to cut up with, the people he rubbed shoulders with, and he brought them to this banquet to have an introduction to the guest of honor, who was Jesus. And while they were having this event, the Pharisees and their teachers of the religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples, why do you eat and drink with such scum? Referring to Matthew or Levi and his former colleagues. And Jesus answered them, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. Mm-hmm. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. Now, we talked about that a little bit last week, but I want to pause right here and tell some of you who are on the brink of leaving your living. You might need another nudge. I want to tell you there's an evangelistic component to leaving your living. And the evangelistic component is this. Some of you have been working around people, but you haven't really been witnessing to them. And witnessing is a concept which means you share your spiritual faith, you share what you believe with people, you try to introduce them to the Lord that has changed your life. But most of us work with people and we don't make witnessing to them or evangelizing them or trying to see them converted a big part of our job. And many of us work in contexts where we cannot proselytize anyway. But one thing leaving your living will do will raise a level of curiosity about why you left. And when you tell people you left to pursue a calling that God laid on your heart, that alone will pique their curiosity. And later on, you can invite them to a context where they can meet Jesus, where they can be exposed to Jesus. It could be a virtual event. It could be a context where you know they're going to have encounter with Jesus and his people. And that's exactly what Levi did. He brought his former friends and colleagues to an environment where they could meet Jesus. And what I'm telling you is that your leaving your living is going to make your witness go up exponentially. And people are going to come to know the Lord because you stepped out on faith to follow him. Because it's really all about Jesus. In fact, it's not just a career change. It's a calling to follow Jesus. It really is. At the end of the day, that is really what it is. And what it does is it puts you in this mindset that you really care about the people you used to work with. It's really amazing. And that's what it's all about at the end of the day, is seeing people come to a personal relationship with God who can direct and order their lives and bless their lives. And I think it's going to happen in many of your lives as a result of you leaving your living. Now, I want to go to Luke chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 1, and I want to read this story about Jesus going along the seashore and see what Luke says about it. Luke says, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. So now we learn right up front from Luke that Jesus is not just walking up this shore, he's actually preaching. And it's not just Jesus, it's a crowd of people, and the crowd is huge. That's what's happening in verse 1. Now, verse 2 says, he noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. So, stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. And let's stop right there. So now we find out that Simon had a boat. Weren't told that in Matthew chapter 4. We weren't told that in Mark chapter 1. But we know that Simon has a boat. He was not in the boat. He was doing something outside of the boat. And we know that he and Andrew were fishing from the shore. They weren't fishing from their boat. So Jesus gets access to his boat. He gets in the boat. They push out so Jesus can now address this big crowd from the boat. Verse 4 says, when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Now watch what Simon says in response in verse 5. He says, Master, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. And this is sarcastically him saying, you know, I hear you saying we should do, but you know, I know you, this is not a home improvement. I know you're a carpenter, your father's a carpenter. This is what we do. We in the fishing business. And you know, we're not ready to, we went last night.